Hey guys, so this is Archie dropping in for the podcast. Really excited to kind of be here. I thought I would do a quick little sort of chat about setting goals. And I wanted to just talk about how to essentially set a goal and then actually achieve it. There have been times in my life when I've gone and worked towards something and been able to hit it, and there have been times when I have set a goal and haven't, and the difference has been to do with how I've approached it. So I'm just kind of going to go through and explain it. So I've used this method to go from a sort of, you know, 165 sort of deadlift to over 200, and I did that in 6 months. And the idea behind that was to follow a process that was going to help me get there. And there were several ways that I do it. And what I want to do is explain how I did that and then give you some examples of how you want to approach your own goals so that you can actually set them for this year and then actually achieve them. Because one of the biggest mistakes is just setting that goal. And that's often not enough. So the first thing, so when it came back, so this was back in sort of 2015, I think, when I kind of set the goal that I said to my brother, I said, you know, I want to be able to hit 200K deadlift. And that's all that was really mattered to me at that time. Or maybe it was 2016. I think it was probably 2016, 2015, whatever. So I said, okay, so then he actually, we sort of got talking about it, and then by chance I got he gave me a book for about sort of a strength lab and sort of following a program. So that sort of kind of fell into place. But what happened next was thinking, okay, so then we worked out a spreadsheet to go and work out how we were going to hit those kind of numbers. So I knew that kind of the one rep max was that sort of the amazing, you know, the wonderful 200K. But to actually get there in a structured, ordered way was really important. And the only way that was really kind of made that possible was starting off with following this kind of process. So first of all, you've got to know where you are now. So I knew that I had a 175 deadlift. And I knew that that was, at the time, that was like the very most that I could do. So I had the spreadsheet and I kind of punched in these numbers, and I knew that then the first kind of block of this strength program was high volume, lots and lots of reps, building up that deadlift, but like sort of a much lighter weight. So you would do, I did one, if working off 175K max, I then had 10 rounds of 10 for 2 weeks at 80 kilos. And I would squat, because improving a squat also improves your deadlift. I think my squat at that time was 130. So I would squat 10 sets of 10 at 60 kilograms. Did that for 2 weeks. Then it just goes up 5 kilos on the squat and 7.5 kilos on the deadlift. So still really light on the weights. And again, you do that for a further 2 weeks. Then you take a break. Then the following sort of like block, sort of week 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, it would go up to 95K for 5 rounds of 10, and then 95 for those 2 weeks, and then 5 rounds of 10 for the final week at 102K. Now, this might seem really boring, and I'm just throwing loads of numbers at you, but the whole thing with this, what was useful about this whole process was, A, I knew exactly where I needed to be at which point in the program. So I knew that if I wanted to sort of hit the 200K target, I needed to be able to deadlift really comfortably 100K for 100 reps and do it like in 10 minutes. And I built up to that, and it was really straightforward. It was almost easy. It was kind of just like, it was more of a cardio thing. And one of the things that we used when following this process was learning how to use rest as part of the process that was going to help me get there. So we used to find that if the set was quite easy, we would just rest less to between that and the next set. And you just keep going until your technique starts to go, and then you rest longer. And so you'd use rest as the varying factor rather than weight. I think sometimes when we go into strength training, certainly the beginner, we think that in order to make something harder, I have to go and lift heavier. But that's not always the case. For me, then I knew that I had to test, and I had to test my deadlift. And I knew that in order to prove to myself that I could deadlift 200 kilos, I knew that I had to get 150 kilos and pull that for 10 reps. I knew that that was what I had to do. And we used that based on an equation, which is quite simple. And it's you multiply the weight that you lift by the number of reps that you lift it, then multiply that by like 3.3%, and then add the weight that you've lifted. And so essentially, if I lift it, I worked it out backwards, that if I lifted 150K after 10 weeks for 10 reps, then I knew that theoretically I could pull 200K at that point. So in 10 weeks, theoretically, I could pull over 200K max. However, I needed an insurance policy to make sure that when I lifted this weight, I was going to be safe. So I followed a second program after that first initial 10-week block. And that was when the weights start to go up and they go a bit heavier. So now that my sort of current max, my deadlift now, I worked off of a 200K max. And I knew that now it was really going to start to get heavy. So I was going to do five sets of five at 145 kilos. And then I was going to, for the one week, and then I was going to do five sets of five at 153 the following. And then five sets of three at 162. And this was wearing a belt. This was like warming up. This was taking a long time between sets. And then eventually you'd finish off with five rounds of one at 171 kilos. And pulling that, so just five rounds of one. And you do that because you're deadlifting all the time. So you're deadlifting that each week. So this is another sort of 5 weeks in. And you would test a rep max. I think I tested a rep max at 170K. I think I pulled that for six. So I was like, yeah, I've definitely got this. So again, you just like work out the second block. You go weight lifted 176. And I know that I deadlifted that for six. Awesome. I've got my estimated one rep max at 210. So within that sort of 15 weeks. So what's that? Just over 3 months, 3 or 4 months. I had insurance policy. I knew that I could sort of hit 200K. But I still needed to make sure that I could be safe. So safe lifting this. So I did not want to get injured. So I thought, well, I'll go into the next cycle. So then it goes a little bit heavier. So then you do another week of five sets of five, but you do that at 150. Then you do it at 153. Then you go at 160. Then you go five sets of three at 170. And that's when the final week, after nearly 20 weeks of training, 18 weeks, nearly 6 months, I thought, well, let's test. And I went 180, and then that was fine. Went 190, was like, okay, that's fine. And then hit 195 and was like, hold on, I think I've got this comfortably. My palms were like sweating just thinking about it, because it was pretty exciting at the time. And then loaded up the bar with 200K. First attempt, pulled it straight off the floor. And I've got it on camera doing that. And it just felt like nothing, actually. Not heavy. It was heavy, but it felt like just something that now my body could do. It wasn't like a huge jump. There was no like air punch in the air. It was like, yeah, I've put the damn work in. It sort of felt like it would be unreasonable to think that that was something that I could lift. And I think that's the important thing when it comes to achieving goals, is actually when you get there, it's not a big deal. Same went for when I first achieved a muscle up. Like, it was such an anticlimax, it was insane. Again, we've been training CrossFit for 6 months, been working pull-ups, working our ring dips, working all that kind of stuff. And then I just sort of had the rings hung there, pulled up, transitioned, and then just dipped out. And I was like, oh, that was a real anticlimax and wasn't a big deal, even though it's kind of the holy grail. But you need that insurance policy. You need to make sure that when you're working to these goals, that you've got this kind of safety element, and that this is actually your new set point. Now, since that 1 year that I pulled the 200K, I pulled 200K nearly every single year after that point. I think the only time I hadn't done it was last year, just because of the hip injury. But again, it's not factoring in the goals, but it shows that kind of strength is that work that I did for 6 months has lasted now for years. I really can attest to say that just building up that strength is so important. However, a lot of you guys, 200K deadlift is not your goal. And that is not the reason that you're hopping on this podcast, probably listening. And hopefully that was interesting. But I want to stress that there is a system that you can achieve any goal. And I've got this written down, and I'll probably share this. So set the goal and you want to work backwards. So the other thing that I work with a lot of clients, we talk about weight loss goals. Now, to be frank, when it comes to a weight loss goal, there are a lot of factors that come into it because hormones play a big part. But if you're following a straightforward method, there are certain things that you can do. So when it comes to losing 10 kilograms of fat, that's 22 pounds of body fat. Now, if we're saying that your set point is you want to be able to lose that 10 kilos and that's all body fat, then you know that you've got a 77,000 calorie deficit in total to remove off your body. Okay, that's how much fat you need to remove. Now, that's not going to happen overnight. That, again, is probably going to take you 6 months. Why do I say 6 months? Because 500 calorie daily deficit is 154 days. So that is more than, well, that's around about 6 months. So again, it's a similar kind of thing. Now, if you are eating your RMR, so let's say that your resting metabolic rate is, say, 1,800 calories or 2,000 calories, then you need to make sure that your net calories, okay, are 1,500. So that's how much your body is essentially sort of that deficit, or if your sort of your output is 2,500 calories and you are then going to be sort of net consuming 2,000 calories. So that's the simple way of looking at it. Now, how do we do that? Well, a straightforward thing, an easy win, is just by adding 300 to 400 calories deficit and doing 10,000 steps per day. So that's roughly, for the average sort of human being, it's roughly between 300 to 400 calories. If you're smaller, it's going to be on the lower scale. If you're larger, it's going to be on the higher scale. And then you're going to factor in then another 100 calorie deficit of training throughout the week. And most sessions, if you're doing a proper strength session, will burn about 200 calories. So if you train three times a week, then that is a total of 600 calories that you're going to be sort of burning in sort of through strength training and exercise throughout the week. So you're looking at, you know, an average of kind of what, 75, 80 calories per day. So there's a little bit of sort of playing around with that, but essentially you need to then look at what are the habits that I need to help, that's going to help me achieve that and be able to settle into and do this, because this is going to lose this weight and keep it off, you're going to need to make this part of your daily life. So the habits would be to walk plenty. You need to do a weekly meal prep to make sure that the set amount of food that you're eating is spot on. Need to train by lifting weights three times per week. And that's great. And those things are fantastic. But one of the things that's really helped me hit the 200K deadlift and has helped hundreds of clients lose weight is body composition tracking weekly. And without that, you're never going to hit your goal, because you never know if you're actually making progress or not. And then, you know, 3 or 4 months down the line or 2 months down the line, you might just think you're not making progress. And that's simply because you're just not tracking the damn stuff. So if you're trying to hit the goal, you actually need to look at the detail and see what's going on, because you don't know if it's working or not. And what you need is appropriate. Now, the other thing with this, what helped me lift this 200K was not just the fact that I was training for it. I also had a training partner, so I was training with Lydia. We did the full cycle of the 10 by 10s all together, and then we did a full cycle of the block 2, which was the 5 by 5s and the 5 by 3s, and I think we did most of that together. By that point, I was just sort of, you know, just zeroed in on this 200K. Like, nothing else in my fitness goals really mattered at that point. And I think for you to achieve your goal, let's say it's a weight loss goal, nothing else needs to really matter except that. But no, you need to create impetus. You need to create impetus to train. And by that, it's creating accountability. Because again, if you just do this on your own, it's very unlikely for this to happen. You might make progress, but you're never going to keep the weight off. So you need things like training partners, you need coaches, you need even photographers, you know, that kind of stuff. But you need lots of layers. You need people that you can go and train with. You need classes that you know you're going to hit. If you miss classes, you need to know that people are going to pull you up on it. You need all of those things to really make this goal something which is actually going to happen. And if it doesn't happen, then it's most likely going to be a cause because from poor execution. It's not because the plan doesn't work. So it's just going to happen because you haven't been doing the things you know you should be doing. And to make it easy for you to do that, you need to be surrounded by the people who are also doing the things that you know you should be doing. Then it becomes a sort of social pressure to actually go and maintain these habits, to go, and then therefore you're going to lose the weight. And that's how the 6-week challenge works. And that's how you can essentially use that sort of superpower of human nature to adopt the habits of those that were around to set and achieve any goal. So, you know, we can choose another goal. And this is what I've written down, is the first Hyrox doubles. So if you're sort of further along, you don't want to lose weight, you want to sort of build the fitness enough that you can do a Hyrox doubles. Well, we need to work backwards first. What is a Hyrox? You're running 8 kilometers and you're going to hit 7 stations. You're going to be working for somewhere for most of the time for your first Hyrox. It's going to be an hour and 10, hour and 15 minutes, up to an hour and a half. Maybe longer, an hour and 40. So you need to have that insurance policy. You need to, for that to be a comfortable thing, for you to make this whole enjoyable experience and for it to be worthwhile, because you want to not be broken afterwards. So that's the assumption that I'm working with this in this scenario. Now, let's just say that this is an athlete. You're someone who struggles with pushing a sled, but mostly you're actually quite weak on the running. So you prefer kind of like the weightlifting, kind of gymnastics sort of elements, but you know that you want to do a Hyrox and you know that the running is something that's going to be good. So working backwards, you need to first of all build up to be able to run 10 kilometers easy, because Hyrox is more than 50% running. For most people, it's actually about 60% of the time. So 70% of the time, you're going to be doing a lot of the running. So you need to build up to running 10K easily. So that's 2 kilometers more than you need, and that's key. You then also need to have the strength to hit certain markers. So if you're a dude, you need to be able to push 150 kilogram sled. If you are a lady, you also need to be able to push more than that. The important thing to realize is also that when you're trying to push a sled, you're going to be fatigued. So you need to accept that is the you need some training insurance so that you can push more than that sort of weight. So I just kind of want to dive in. So training needs to be consistent to hit strength focus. So pushing, pulling these sleds, lunges, all those kind of stations, burpee broad jumps that are uncomfortable, that needs to be done on a consistent basis. It needs to be done weekly. You need to accumulate. You don't need to run 10K, you need to accumulate 10 kilometers throughout the week, so each week. So if you're looking at a 12-week program to hit your Hyrox and your weakness is running, the real aim would be to hit 120 kilometers of running in that sort of 12-week time frame, and for that to be quite straightforward. That would be the first thing, and you have a tally for every kilometer that you do, 12 of those, so 12 kilometers per week. The other thing to do is to make sure that this is not just, you're not going to be doing a steady state run, it's a speed event. So you've got to be running fast. So one of the runs would need to have shorter bursts of effort. So 5x5, 500 meter efforts with a 2 to 3 minute break between is a good solution to that. And no one likes to run intervals. It's not pleasant. So again, having a training partner is going to be really key. And then a zone 2 run to build up the stamina so that you can run for that hour and a half. So building up your cardiovascular fitness so that your resting heart rate is lower, so that you have the fitness to be able to handle that kind of duration. And you don't need to be doing simulated Hyroxes. You just need to be training up those movements. So working backwards to Hyrox doubles, you need to train 2 runs per week, 2 strength per week. Now this isn't dogma. This is how I would approach it. There are other ways of doing this, but this would be for a beginner looking to go and accomplish a Hyrox. This is how what I think should also happen. Now, the other thing is to make sure that nutrition is a focus, because hormones play a big part in how much response you have, how quickly you recover, and generally how you feel and how sustainable this training is going to be. So you need to make sure, again, weekly meal prep, planning ahead to make sure that you're eating sufficient calories for the kind of demands of training for a HYROX is going to give you. And then also, without fail, you need to track. But the thing to look at this, I would say, is tracking your weights on the sleds and tracking your interval times weekly and the distance that you're running that zone to. So everything that you are doing, you need to track it, that is geared towards it. So you track your two training runs, you track your two strength sessions. And so long as you hit those, the chances are that you're going to show up to the race in that HYROX and you're going to have a good time and you're going to set yourself a good time, but also you're going to be able to finish and not be completely broken. Because again, the big thing with these goals is you might be able to achieve it with less, but it's about having that insurance policy to make sure that this doesn't ruin you. Because I think a lot of times if we're underprepared for a fitness event or to accomplish something, then it's never going to have a lasting effect on you as a person if you don't properly prepare. So that is how I believe that, how I've seen goals to be accomplished, is you start with the goal, you work backwards, and then you look at the specific tasks that need to take place on a consistent basis to be able to accomplish that. Anyway, I hope you found that useful, guys. This has actually turned out to be a lot longer than I imagined. I'm going to be doing a little Q&A about goal setting once this is out and released. And then we can talk about it. I hope you found this valuable, and hopefully we'll see you in the next one.